The Alter from Köln, Reb Simcha Zissel Zatzal, he asked a Moiridik a question. Ma bein tzaddik l'rosha? What's the underlying difference between someone who becomes a tzaddik or someone chas v'shalom becomes a rosha? He talks about it in regard to Yaakov and Esav. Think about it. They come from the same father, Yitzchak Avinu, the same grandfather, Avraham Avinu, and yet one became a Yaakov, a tzaddik, and one became a rasha. What's the chiluk? What's the underlying root of how this can happen for the Alter von Köln? And the Ebbe says, this question is very negay all of us. How do you have two bachrim who come to one yeshiva? They come from a similar background, and yet one of them produce, and they're matzliach, and the other one is not so much successful. What's the underlying nekuda of what makes one person productive and matzliach in a yeshiva, and one just walks away with kamat nothing? How does it happen? Zok the Alter von Köln, he answers this question with two words. And the emesis, these two words that he answers, is mamish, it's a million-dollar answer. It's worth millions. It could change your life. And we're standing here a week before Rosh Hashanah. Dova bi'itoy ma'toyv. Shlomo HaMelech says, to talk about a timely matter is a good thing. The emesis, standing a week before Rosh Hashanah, and we're looking, what message could I share with you a week before we go to the Yom HaDin? A week before we're going to beg the Rabbanu Shalom for another year of life, and you want to have another good year of bracha and hatzlacha, and you want to tell the Rabbanu Shalom how next year is going to be different, what message could you feel confident that it's not going to be a different year? These words of the Alter von Köln could change your life. Zog the Alter von Köln. Koyach hatzir. The ability to visualize is the difference of why one becomes a tzaddik and one becomes a rasha. Which means, what he's saying is, we're living in a world that our ruchnius is not really seen, it's not something that's tangible. On the other hand, the gashmius of the world is very tangible, and it's very seen, and it's very appealing, and it's very distractive. B'chulu b'chulu. The only way a person could attach himself to his ruchnius and his avodas Hashem if he has a power, a koyach hatzir, a power to visualize. A person who has a stronger power of visualization, a person who works on a greater strength in koyach hatzir, he's the one that becomes the tzaddik. He's the one that's matzliach when he comes to yeshiva and v'chulu v'chulu of success. On the other hand, a person who doesn't really work on his koyach hatzir, he has a weak level of koyach hatzir. That's the person Nebuch, like the Alter von Köln says, becomes Esav HaRasha. He doesn't have hatzlacha. This is the secret that affects our entire day in our entire life. I'll give you an example. We have to learn from everything that goes on in the world and use it for our lives. Everything that happens in the world is for the Yidden. So many times we need chizuk in understanding what it means. One word of Talmud Torah. One word of Talmud Torah, we know Talmud Torah is connected kula. Talmud Torah is connected all the mitzvahs. A person who learns just for a moment, we don't realize what it's worth, what its value is. The Mishnah Avos says, a moment of reward of Olam Haba, a moment in Olam Haba is going to be more enjoyable than kol chayi Olam Hazeh. So a person has to imagine with this koyach hatzir, of what it means, a lifetime of fun, a whole chayi olam hazeh of enjoyment, and think that a moment in olam haba, a moment of Elul Haba is going to be more pleasurable than that. So I want to give you an example, just to use our visualization. I read an article recently. History was recently made, this past year, with a ball player signing the largest contract in sports history. I don't know if I pronounced his name right, but Shohei Ohtani, he signed a 10-year contract for $700 million with the LA Dodgers. I want you to understand what this means. $700 million. I made a calculation. That's $70 million per year. The sports season is about, you know, from, I imagine, April, May, until September, October time, like the most 6 months maybe. 6 months means in 6 months' time, he's making $11.6 million. And there's only 30 days in a month. So $11.6 million a month means in 30 days, every day is worth for him approximately $375,000. Just for a day of work. That's more than the average salary of a doctor. Can you imagine? For a whole year, a yearly salary of a doctor. $375,000 a day. If you divide that in 24 hours, it's over $15,000 an hour. It's a lot of money to make. We have to use our koyach hatzior and think to ourselves, you know, when I learned Torah, ani ma'amin be'emuna shelema, that when I learned Torah, I'm learning and it's worth more than the $15,000 when I put in an hour of learning. I put in a day of learning, it's worth much more than the $375,000 that he's getting for his day. We have to realize what our Talmud Torah is worth. And the stronger Yekoyach Hatzir that you have, the better ability you have to visualize, the more you'll be devoted to your learning. The more you'll be devoted to Avodas Hashem. The more you'll be devoted to your Ruchnius. It's all in your hands. Ma bein tzadik l'rosha, it's koyach hatzir. How much do you have the ability to visualize? And this power of visualization could change your life. The bachur that's a bigger masmid is because by him it's more real and tangible. He has a koyach hatzir. The bachur that's not such a masmid, it's his koyach hatzir, is weak. And he has to work on visualization. He has to think about this contract of $700 million for 10 years. That's what he has to think about. Let's talk about chakras. When there was only 12 first-year Bachram here, when Suki Dezimra started today, those 12 Bachram who came, it's because they have a higher koyach hatzir power than others. They're mitzayer to themselves the value of what it means to come to a davening, how important tefillah is, how important it is to keep good zmanim and a routine, and therefore they get up kiskabe kari, they get up like a lion. The ones that roll in, they obviously also have a koyach hatzir. Obviously that's why they're coming, it's not tangible, you don't see it. So obviously you have some level of visualization, but it has to be worked on. It's not as strong. Every moment of our day, the more power of koyach hatzir we have, the more visualization we're able to utilize, the more we're going to perform. Because at the end of the day, avodas Hashem is not seen, it's not tangible. And that's what the Alter of Kelm is teaching us, how we have the whole difference, and what we have to work on is our koyach hatzir. This affects every part of our day, every part of a Yid's Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. I'll give you an example also. Let's say coming Shabbos comes, right? We're pretty close to Shabbos. A person I'm not talking halacha l'maisa of any bacher here, but let's say, you know, married people and all that, they have to buy food for Shabbos. A person who has a good koyach hatziyah, he has a good power of visualization, it's very real to him that Chazal tell me that spending money on Shabbos is the Rabbeinu Shalom's checkbook. The Rabbeinu Shalom promises, the famous Chazal, that I will sponsor everything you use for Shabbos Kodesh. So a person who has a good koyach hatziyah, he has no problem buying food and spending money for Shabbos because he knows the Rabbeinu Shalom is on his account. It's on the house. A person who has a weaker koyach hatziyah, it's a little more difficult. I don't really believe it. And it's hard to spend L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. These are just small examples. The examples are unlimited of how it plays out. I want to give you an example in regard to Liman HaTorah. When it comes to Talmud Torah, Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal, it's in Parshas Vayechi, he writes over there incredible words about how mistaken we are, what it means to have menucha. What does it mean to have menucha and to be relaxed? He writes over there on the pasuk by the Birchas Yaakov to Yisachar, Vayar menucha ki toiv. He saw menucha's good. Vayet shichmoy lizbol, and he tilted his shoulder to endure and tolerate what it takes. So it's a very strange lashon, because if menucha is good, what does it mean you have to tolerate? Tolerance sounds like something's difficult. But I thought menucha means relaxation and being chilled, not having difficult. So how does it work together, two parts of the pasuk? This is what Rabbi Yerucham discusses there. And he says like this, Ha'inyin, hine ha'olam tayin, the world, everybody out there makes a mistake. Utmeim ala kadosh baruch hu, they even have a wonder on Hashem. Nasan Yisrael es ha'Torah, Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael in a midbar, in a desert. Midarki kinyana, l'chayru to be kind of Torah, halay hu ha'yishuv ha'menucha, you have to have yishuv and menucha, you have to be chilled and relaxed. No, that's what you need for Torah. So, how did Rabbeinu Shem give us Torah in an unsettled place in a desert where there's nothing there? L'chayra, how does that stem with what we need for Torah? Ha'yiroyi shetinasim Torah dafka be'eretz Yisrael b'yoysam kulam ish tachas gafnoi ish tachas teinosa, each person has his field and everything he needs. And not in a desert. We are in a desert. The Pasuk described our life in the desert was vayancho vayarivecho. It was painful and we were hungry. How does that stem with what we need for being the Kabbal Torah, Frek Rebbe Rucham? Avlamitas hadvorim kein hu, Zok Rebbe Rucham, but in truth, if you understand really well, it's dafka like that. Likabolas ha-Torah vaday tzricha menucha rabo. Of course you're right. Torah needs menucha rabo, a tremendous menucha. Aval man nikra menucha be'emes. But what does it mean, menucha? We have the wrong translation of menucha. What does it mean, menucha? What does it mean to relax? Alzeh lomad lomad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu Shem is teaching us what it means, menucha. Be'oifin nisidas al shatoyer dafka b'midbar. When he gave us a Torah in a desert, he's teaching us what it means, menucha. Toyim anshe oylam, the world makes a mistake. Oyimrim, they say menucha is nikdis b'menuchas aguf. Menucha comes from relaxing your guf. But I think it's the exact opposite. If menucha came from relaxation of your guf, and having everything you need perfectly tailored, being pampered, He mikar habilbul. That's the source of confusion, of unrest, of not having ease. That's the beginning of the opposite of what you need of menucha. It's bilbul. Me'achashem is ragel. If you get used to the menucha rak b'tnoim, if you have certain conditions that you dafka need, shelo yechzloi klum, I shouldn't be missing anything, everything has to be picture perfect. Nimsa shekol matzav matzav. Every situation is never always like that. And it's always going to be shelo yeh lefi hergel. It's not going to be exactly what you're used to. And kvar yishbori, so you're going to be broken. V'lo yitim lekol menucha, you're not going to have the menucha you need. So you can't function in life and be successful if that's your definition of menucha. Eliyatridu legamri mavedasai. You're going to be totally torn from all, everything, mavedasai. Any change that happens to the individual, he can't handle. So how's he ever going to have his menucha and his tranquility that he needs if it's only with certain terms? Hachofetz limtsoi menucha. If someone wants menucha, they menuchas haguf. If that's what you think menucha is, it's doime la'odom sheshayfich shemen al eish l'man l'chabaisai. It's like pouring oil on fire to put it out. He says maybe for a moment the fire seems to get extinguished a little bit, but a moment later it's even a bigger fire. Or he said it's doime la'odom sheshayfich mayim meluchim. It's like drinking salty water to get rid of your thirst. For a moment, he says, your thirst might feel quenched. But at the end of the day, in a moment afterwards, you're even more thirsty than before because you drank salty water. So even if relaxation, a menuchas haguf, seems for momentarily to give you menucha, that's not the menucha of a chazal called menucha. And what Chazal believe is a maila in being kind of Torah. So what is menucha? So I'm going to read you what he says. It might be a hard pill to swallow, but this is Rabbi Yerucham Zatzal speaking. A man of truth. Menucha ha'amitis. What real menucha is, Hamida hanetzreches, the midah of menucha that you need, the Kabbalah's Torah, and we're all in this world here for Torah. Every yid, bereishis, bara lekim, bereishis v'shvil Torah shnikra reishis. We were created for Torah. We were created to become great in Torah. Each one on their level to reach their shleimus. So we're here for Torah. How are you kind of Torah? You need menucha. What is menucha? Hamido hanetzreches the Kabbalah haTorah, the mido menucha needed for Torah. Loiti tochein, it's not possible. Kiyim b'shviras haguf, with breaking your guf. Binotol mimenu royiv nuchoichios, taking away most of your things that make you at ease. Bahamit kol tanugoisov, very minimizing all your delights. With light of all that, al matzova yamoid, still you're devoted to your goal of what you want. Then b'menuchasa yishar, that's going to have true menucha, which means menucha is translating as a peace of mind. Peace of mind doesn't come from having everything perfect. Those wealthy people who have everything in life, they have the least peace of mind around. That's not true menucha that's recognized by the Torah. True menucha is not needing everything to be perfect. Being able to be devoted to something more real and tangible, which is Avodas Hashem and Ruchnis and Torah, that even if the physical things are not so perfect, but my devotion doesn't get changed, and therefore I can have a true peace of mind, a menuchas hanefesh. That's what you need for Torah. But here comes the punchline, which is Nageya us. Ve'eich yatzliach ha'odom. So how does a person matzliach to work on this? This is a very big, tall order. At the very l'shtalmus kazayis, to have shleimus in this inyan of what real menucha is, says Rabbi Yerucham achas hi haderech. There's one point. If you want to know how to have real menucha, which is a criteria that's needed, necessary condition to be matzliach and Torah, and even nuchas hanefesh, a peace of mind. How do you get to that if this is what it takes, which is something naturally our physical guf doesn't want? How do you do it? Says Rabbi Ruchim, it's one achasi aderech. Bisumoy leneged einov tamid, putting in front of your eyes, tachlis achas, and I have one goal in life. And he quotes the Lashon of Mesillas Yesharim. Having clarity of my purpose here in this world, being focused on my purpose, is the way you're going to get there. And what does that mean in English? Like we're talking, that's Koyach Hatzir. That's the ability of visualization. If Menucha is all the physical things of this world, that's all tangible, I see that, I don't need to visualize that. And that's going to bring our downfall. That brings our destruction, that brings the bilbul of the mayach, the bilbul of our minds. But when I don't need so much, I realize I have to let go. You can have such a menuchas hanefesh, such a tranquility of the mind. And that allows Talmud Torah. But how do you do that? With one focus. The koyach hatzir, the koyach of visualization of what's my purpose in this world. Keeping focused on what's my purpose in this world, that koyach hatzir, says Rabbi Ruchim, is the secret of being matzliach in Torah. And he learns it up into the pasuk. I see it's late already, but he learns it up into the pasuk of that's the vayah menucha kitoy vayetshich my lizbo. Menucha meant the real menucha, tranquility, a peace of mind. And peace of mind means I'm ready to be vayetshich my lispol. I'm ready to tolerate. Because I'm focused on what's my purpose. The more we work on focusing on our purpose, visualizing that this world is temporary. You live in this world, it doesn't seem temporary. It seems everlasting. People build houses. I mean, the house right there behind us over here is being built ready for the last 5 years. Literally, like, people build forever as if we're going to be here for a million years. But if a person has a koyach of visualization, that person knows, 1 second, life is very short. Life is short. This is just a temporary world. So you have to visualize this world as temporary. And with the visualization, we have to visualize there's an olam haba, eternal life that's waiting for us. And that eternal life is more than the $700 million contract. A moment of Talmud Torah, a moment of mitzvahs, a moment of Vedas Hashem, what it gives me. The more we're in touch with our koyach hatzir, the more you're going to go be matzliach to become the tzaddik, to reach your potential in life, to reach your shleimus of why Hashem put you here in this temporary world. This is a gevaldik yisoid as we're approaching the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah. I want to share with you a Mori Dikamaisa. To understand how far reaching this Koyach Hatzir is. You know, this week's parasha, the pasuk in this week's parasha, it says, "Bacharta b'chayim." I want you to choose life, Hashem says. You have a choice in front of you, choose life. So the Mefarshim ask, I mean, you have to tell me to choose life? Any bar das understands, if you have a choice, you want life. So you got to tell me to choose life? What's Hashem telling me? I want you to pick life. Of course I'm going to pick life. What else? I want to die? So the Mefarshim explain, life doesn't jafka mean chayi olam hazeh. When it says life, then what's that what we mean? B'chayta b'chayim means what's truly life. And that's not simple at times. Sometimes a toss-up. I feel like I want to accomplish something here in this world, but I know the real life is olam haba, and if I should give up that for real life. And that's what Hashem is telling us, b'chayta b'chayim, choose life. What's real life? Chayim amitiyim. That's what we're supposed to choose. That's what Hashem is telling us. Not everything that we see intangible is real life. This is a moment of Gemaisa that I saw brought down. that brings out this message. The Chido brings down this story. It happened with Maram Rutenberg. The Maram Rutenberg was one of the early Rishonim. He was the Rebbe of many of our big Rishonim that we learned. Al Kapana, the Maram Rutenberg, the Goyim at the time, made up a gracious story and a lila about him that got thrown him into jail. And he was thrown into prison for this made up story about him. They said he was spying for a different country. Al Kapana, they even told the Yidden, you can't even ask about how he's doing in prison because otherwise you're also part of the whole scheme of spies and you're going to be locked up also. And they were very, very tough with the Yidden. Lamaisa, there were many Yidden that were very successful in getting into the government, and they secretly tried to make a deal of arranging how they could bail out and bribe with money and free the Maram Rutenberg. After Lamaisa, they worked out a good number, you know, a hefty price, obviously, but they worked it out, and there was a deal put in place. The Maram Rutenberg heard, they told him over what's the plan, and he said, B'shulayf, in no way. You can't pay that price to free me. It's a beferish halacha of Ein Poidim Shvuim Yoiser Al Demeyem, they tikkun ha'olam. You can't, if you show the guy they're willing to pay a lot of money to free someone, it's going to ruin the future of Klal Yisrael because people, the Goyim are going to constantly capture Yidden and they know we're going to pay a hefty price to free them. You're not allowed to do that. I refuse to leave jail for such a price. Not in the game. And Lamaisa Kahava, obviously, Maram Rutenberg got his way and he refused to let that money be paid for his freedom. And Lamaisa, he stayed in jail and he ended up staying in jail the rest of his life. He was nifter in jail. Once he was nifter, the Goyim didn't want to let and release his body. They wanted to go ahead and bury him. And the Goyim, Shemayfa, didn't let. They said, no, he's going to stay there. And for a very long time, he doesn't bring down exactly how long, but it was a very long time. He writes, Zman Rav, Nebuch, his guf, remained in the prison, and they didn't have right to access it and make a kavura. Which is, in Svarim HaKadosh, it's a vur, how much pain it is for the body not to have kavura. That's when Eretz Yisrael, the very makban Eretz Yisrael, to bury right away that day. They don't even leave the body overnight. It's a terrible pain for the body to be left over once it's nifta. HaKaponim, Rabbi Rutenberg was lying there for a very long time in the prison without having a kavura. Finally, it was a very wealthy yid who arranged a private meeting with some big officials. And he arranged that for a certain price, they're ready to release the body and let us have a levaya and have a kvura for the Maram Rutenberg. And sure enough, the next day, Chveis, a Tuesday, they had a grace levaya for the Maram Rutenberg, and they made a kvura. And it was a gvaldika, you can imagine, a gvaldika simcha that they finally were able to go ahead and bury the Maram Rutenberg. The next morning, this yid was nifter. Suddenly, this wealthy yid. And you can imagine what a bahala it made in the town. This yid, who went out of his way to bury the Maram Rutenberg, he paid a lot of money, and the mamash, he's the one that made the whole levaya and everything. Suddenly, the next day, he was nifter. And mamash, the town was upside down on wheels. Mamash, the Bahola mamash, trying to grasp this tragedy that happened. A day or two later, this yid, who was nifta, this wealthy yid, he came to one of his yididim in a dream. And he appeared in the dream and he told him, I want you to understand and tell the Olam what happened. Because I see there's a big, the Olam is not at ease of the whole Maisa. He said, I want you to understand. Tuesday night, after the Levaya, that night when I went to sleep, this Usher was saying, that night, Tuesday night, when I went to sleep, The Maram Rutenberg came to me in a dream. And he gave me a grossi ashekoyach. He said, I can't describe the hano that you gave me, that you put me to kvura. You have no idea what hano you gave me. You have no idea what side you took me out of by bringing me to a levaya and giving me kvura. And because of that, I have the opportunity to pay you back. And I want to give you one of two options. One option I'm giving you is, you could be zeicha to ashiris that's going to last l'cha ulzaracha ad olam. An ashiris that's going to be for you and your family forever. That's one option. Or the other option is, you could immediately be nifter and you'll be zeicha in olam haba to come to my olam, to be in my mechitza. And I chose the second option. This is what he told his friend. I chose the second option. And I want the Olam to know that I chose that option and I'm in the Mechitza with the Maram Rutenberg, which I can't describe the Hanah that I'm having. And that was the dream that this person, the Yedid, woke up the next morning to explain to the Olam what happened. Zok the Balei Musar, who brought down this Maisa, that this is a Bechar to Bechayim. You would think he chose to be nifter and he was giving up life. But not at all. That was choosing life for all eternity. This Pashna Balabas, Ashir, was Zaycha to be with one of the great Rishonim, the Rami Rutenberg, and his Mechitza and Olam Haba. We have no idea what a pleasure and delight he has for all eternity. That's a Bechar to Bechayim, picking real life. And this is where we need Koyach HaTzir. At times it's so confusing. We don't know what we're supposed to pick. But a person who has the ability to visualize and put things in perspective and understand what we're really living for is able to go ahead and see things in a better light and choose properly u'bachar to b'chayim, chayim amitiyim, real life. And the emphasis is, this is the first bracha we have in Shmoneh Esrei. Every day when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, 19 brachas. If you look, the Mishnah Berurah writes something fascinating. It says Simen Kuf Tes Vav, when it's discussed, why is the first bracha that we daven Ata Chayne L'Odom Das? Why is that the first bracha? Ata Chayne L'Odom Das? Zok the Mishnah Berurah, Kosov B'Sefer Seder Hayoyim, Atachoynen Rishoyna, Atachoynen is first. Why is it first? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Shezeh Iker HaShe'elo Shetzorech Adam Lishom Eis HaBayri Yisborach. This is the most important request that we have from the Rabbeinu Shloilom, that we ask the Rabbeinu Shloilom. She'elas ha'chochmo v'hadas is the most important. Why? She'yitin lo'y seichel v'das, that the Rabbeinu Shem should give me understanding. Limo yisbira v'livchor b'toyim. I need to know how to be mos and despise and put down the ra. And to know how to choose the toiv. The facts are, Olam Hazeh is doima to laila. It's doima to darkness. Life in this world is not clear. And in that darkness, I have to know how to choose what's ra and what's toiv. With kaya hatsiyor, with the ability to visualize, keeping alive what Olam Haba is, what my purpose in this world is, how temporary Olam Hazeh is. When I have a visualization that's stark, when I have a good power of Koyach HaTzir, and I keep things alive of what's really important and what's not, that's my das, my intellect working. That's what we're asking for in Atachayin L'Adam Das. And that's what gives me the ability to be Mos, Barah, Livchor, Batoy. Just yesterday, I bumped into someone who told me he went to visit a Yid in a rehab. This Yid has been there for a few years. He's there since Corona. I said, really, what's going on with him? He said, ever since he got Corona, he became blinded and he's a little bit paralyzed. I couldn't digest such news. Can you imagine a man, a young man, maybe a year or two older than me? Rachman al-Tzani has a whole family. He's a husband of a wife. And he's sitting in a rehab for a few years already, suffering from being blind and a little bit paralyzed. Rachman al-Tzani. So I said, what's going on with you when you had to visit him? Like, what was the matzav? He told me it's absolutely amazing. He said, this man's positivity and his upbeat nature is incredible. Here's a man who's been blind for a few years now. He knows what it means to have sight. He knows what it means to look and see because he lived his whole life with sight. Just the last few years now, but he's been blinded. He knows what it means to move his limbs and he's a little paralyzed. And yet, he's so positive and upbeat. This was a conversation I had with this Yid. And I was thinking about it. There's no understanding such a story unless this Yid must be a choshev Yid who has a tremendous koyach hatzir. His koyach hatzir of visualization, of understanding what his purpose in life is. How he must have such clarity of this is only a temporary world and there's a much greater eternity that I'm heading to, that he's able to live a life in such a matzav, being so positive and upbeat. This pasha, no understanding besides a very powerful kayach hatzir that this Yid must have. And the emes is, to reach greatness in all our avodas Hashem, greatness in Torah or any avodah, it only happens with she'ifas. We have to have gevaldika she'ifas to yearn for greatness. That's what brings out our levels that we want to reach. I think it's a famous saying, I think it was from Napoleon's army, if I remember correctly. He used to say that a soldier who doesn't yearn to be a general is not even a soldier. Because the basic level of being a soldier is that you want to reach the top. Otherwise, you're not a good fighter in the first place. We need to have she'ifas. Kol shekein in our Torah, in our Avodah. She'ifas, yearning for greatness, has to do with kayach hatzir also. It's visualization of visualizing how great I can become. I want to tell you a maisa. It's a moridika maisa. I heard it many years ago and I saw it recently printed. From Shmuel Levi Vosner, the Shevet HaLevi, very simplistic Hador, was only nifter 9 years ago. He lived to about 102, 103 years old. Now Vosner, just want to understand who he was. When he was a Bachar, he wanted to go to Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. And when he went to Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin to get accepted there, Rabbi Shapiro, who ran the yeshiva, you had to know 200 blot bal peh to get it. By us, we go prepare for a bechina, go to the Mir in Eretz Yisrael, you got to prepare like three, four blot. You don't have to know bal peh, you just got to know 3-4 blot, period. This is not only about 100 years ago, or less, it's about 80 years ago, or 85 years ago, when he... close to 100 years ago when he went for this lechina, he had to know 200 blot bal peh to get into Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. He went for his lechina, and Lomaisa, he was a regular bachar. He wasn't, anything extraordinary. And Hitaka didn't know it was 200 blah blah blah. And Rameir Shapiro said, I can't accept you. He refused to let him in. A few hours later, Rameir Shapiro came to Beis Medrash and he sees Shmuel Vosner sitting there learning. He says, well, maybe this bacha didn't understand. So he went over to him and said, I'm sorry, but I wasn't able to accept you. Like, maybe you just didn't understand. He said, yeah, I know. I'm planning on going home until my train comes. It's not coming for another, you know, a little bit. So I said, I'll sit and learn until my train comes. So the Rameir Shapiro heard that. He said, you know something? If you're so devoted to your learning like that, you're accepted to my yeshiva. And he ended up accepting to the yeshiva. But I just wanted to bring out that what his level, he wasn't anything extraordinary. So the Maisa goes like this. This is just not dumb. The Maisa goes like this. Shmuel Levi Vosner ended up becoming one of the Poiske Ador. Shevet HaLevi is one of his big sets of svarim that he wrote. One of his grandchildren was Mishamashim towards the end of his life. And you know, when he's Mishamash to Zayda, so he's, you know, a little curious and nosy, looking around the house a little bit. And in one of the drawers, somehow he found a stack of letters that were like wrapped together. So he's wondering what the stack of letters are. So he cut it open to see. And it was a bunch of letters that it seemed Vosner must have written. And it was signed at the bottom of every letter, Shmuel Vosner, Shmuel Levi Vosner, Av Bezdin de Lutz. The Lodz. Av Bezdin de Lodz. Lodz was a city in Poland. Av Bezdin de Lodz. When was he? Av Bezdin in Lodz. He lived in Bnei Brak for most of his, you know, all those later years. When was he? Av Bezdin in Lodz. Couldn't imagine. So, he asked some of his cousins, who maybe if they knew anything, and they wonder where either. And they asked their parents, meaning all of them were asking their parents, who were children of Rav Vosner, and no one could remember any period in his life that he should have been Av Bezdin in Lodz. And they tried to make a timeline of when he was Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, and we went from there, and it just didn't equal up. There was no period of time that he was Av Bezdin of Lodz. So, the grandson decided, and he asked the Zayda, what's this stack of letters, Av Bezdin of Lodz? So, he came over to the Zayda and asked him, what's these letters? And when he asked him, all of a sudden Shmuel Vosner started smiling. And he realized something's going on over here. So he said, I'll be honest with you. He said, when I was in yeshiva, I had it very hard. I couldn't keep up with the other bachurim. I always felt myself lagging behind. And it wasn't simple for me to really keep up with their level. And there came a point that I totally got very frustrated and my mamash was falling apart. I really felt like I wasn't up to them. So I needed some tactic to keep me going. So what I decided was, I started writing down different shilas. When I had a sugya, I wrote down the shilas. And I wrote the shila to me. I was writing the shila to me. I wasn't sending it to anybody. I was writing the shila to me, but as if a shila was being asked. And then I'd come up with the answer, and I'd sign off, Av Bezdin de Lodz. I was a regular bach in yeshiva. I wasn't no Av Bezdin. But I wanted to lift myself up in my hasogas and who I could be. And I constantly signed my name, Av Bezdin de Lodz, to go ahead and give myself that chizuk of, I'm answering the shayla. And the bottom line is, I don't know if Shmuel Levi Vosner himself said this, but the bottom line is, Itaka made a difference. It went into his bloodstream in believing himself and gave him greater she'ifas that this regular Bachan Yeshiva is an Av Bezdin. If he's an Av Bezdin, it brought him to the Madrega of Taka becoming an Av Bezdin of Poisek Ador. And he became the Baal Shevet HaLevi. So upon him, we have to realize, Kaya Chatzir is a Gevaldika power. The more we visualize in all our avodas Hashem, making things tangible of what every mitzvah is worth, what every avodas Hashem is worth, what a olam haba is going to look like, all these ideas, if you make it more tangible and you work on your kaya chatzir, You're going to see tremendous results. And Be'ezer Hashem, this could be a gewaldic secret of utilizing Kayach HaTzir to be very matzliach in the upcoming year, Be'ezer Hashem, that you taka b'zeicha to gewaldic kasiva v'chasima toiva.